I'm joined by Nicholas Noe, a Beirut-based analyst and editor of MideastWire.com. Nicholas, we've just had the death confirmed of Ali Hussein Nassif, who appears to have been killed in Syria. What do we know about Hezbollah's activities in Syria?
This is an extraordinarily secretive organization, very well disciplined, that some of the most powerful intelligence agencies in the world have tried to penetrate. We know from Hezbollah itself that there have been some penetrations, but they appear to have been, at times when things matter, like during war, they appear to have mattered very little on the battlefield. So we don't really know. We know what Hezbollah says publicly, and we know what people whisper. We don't even know, I think at this point, you may correct me if I'm wrong today, but Hezbollah still has not said where he has been killed. So we're still at the beginning of this story, but this is a significant event because this is really the first time in the, you know, 18-month plus long conflict in Syria where Hezbollah appears to be at a major public turning point of acknowledging some kind of substantive involvement in the unrest, in the battle for Syria. And that will likely be forthcoming. And it will probably be from Nasrallah himself, because this apparently was a very high-ranking Hezbollah commander. Hezbollah is not running away from the issue of him being killed. We expect that because of the great scrutiny, that whether Hezbollah likes it or not, they are in a position where Nasrallah will probably have to tell most, if not all, of the truth of what happened. So we will have to see.
Assuming that Nassif, this commander, was there, what were they doing? What's the most likely explanation?
Well, again, we have to be very careful about what analysts like myself or even anonymous sources say, because the truth of the matter is that almost all of us know very little. We can, you know, I think the general assumption, of course, in the public discourse and in the sort of information war that's going on right now, the very robust information war, the idea is that he was a level Hezbollah commander who was somehow engaged in either coordination on the ground in Syria or direct battle in Syria. Now, you know, there are a lot of levels to this potentially, and some we may never know, but we should always remember, especially for Western audiences that are listening to this or that are reading these reports, that my own country, America, many of the Arab countries, including some of the best allies of France, the U.S., and Britain are neck deep in direct conflict on the ground in Syria. And we know that with a great degree of certainty. We assume also that the Israelis are involved to a certain degree. These are assumptions. Some of them have been confirmed, like the involvement of American intelligence officials in Turkey and probably in Syria as well. So there is a multi-sided war going on. So it's not as if a Hezbollah got caught red-handed and their opponents on the other side have clean hands in this. Everyone, it seems, I think the best assumption we can all make is that the Iranians, Hezbollah, their bitterest opponents, Israel, the U.S., Qatar, Saudi Arabia, all have a great degree of hands involved in the actual killing on the ground. And let's remember that there are pro-regime people being killed, and we can weigh the moral consequences or the moral righteousness of that. But there are also Syrian civilians that are being killed by Western-backed militias, by Western-backed forces as well on the ground. And that seems with great likelihood that is also the case. So we have to be very careful in weighing, you know, who's the bad guy and who's the good guy. I would say to most listeners that unfortunately, all sides in this conflict at this point, no matter how it might have started, all sides are involved in some of the worst atrocities and in some of the real humanitarian disasters we have seen in the Levant in quite some time. And it's only going to get worse.
Hezbollah has been very explicit in his public backing for the Assad regime. Why they say coy about actual military activities there?
That's a rich question. The first part is Hezbollah has been supportive of the Assad regime. There have been important qualifications public slowly been made by Hezbollah, including at times a few months ago, equating the atrocities on the Syrian regime side with the atrocities on the Free Syrian Army side. And that was a fairly big step. So there have been acknowledgments of the bad actor status of the Syrian regime publicly from Hezbollah. So it hasn't been unqualified. That's the first thing. The second thing is that we have to remember that, sometimes in these stories, it's Iran and Hezbollah, or the Syrians and Hezbollah on one side, and the Qataris, Saudis, Israelis, and the Americans, the Turks on the other side. It's almost as if we assume there's an equal actor status as a balance. Hezbollah is at the end of the day, it's a very small actor in what's going on, certainly in international relations in general, but in the Middle East. They have a significant degree of power, but they are a fairly weak actor up against some of the most powerful actors, some of the most powerful state actors in the world, including the United States, including Saudi Arabia and Qatar, who are pouring vast amounts of resources, some of which are going to some of the worst Al-Qaeda-affiliated folks in the world. They're also faced up against their worst enemy, which is obviously the Israelis. So for them to be coy, I think, is a natural result of their position of relative imbalance of power. That's the second thing. And there is a third aspect, which is that the Syrian regime, although it retains a certain degree of popularity within Syria, and perhaps one assumes a certain degree of popularity or grudging support in the wider Arab world, especially amongst people, elites, and constituencies that support a so-called resistance axis strategy, that, you know, all of these things are generally not with, I think, what we see in, at least in the, some of them do, some of them perhaps more credible polling in the Arab world, the Islamic world, in the Middle East, which is that the Syrian regime is not particularly popular. So Hezbollah has to be coy politically, of course. They have to be coy in Lebanon, which is at the end of the day where they're based, because there is a great Sunni, on the sort of Sunni public opinion in Lebanon, is, we think, greatly aligned against the Assad regime. And that's a complicated, because Hezbollah, at the end of the day, will live or die probably not because of the result of Israeli actions or American or Syrians, but as a result of the sectarian system in Lebanon, which ultimately it must live in for now, in the next decades, and in the future. So those are the reasons, I think, are why Hezbollah is being particularly coy about its direct support. And the last one, frankly, is that it's a acknowledgement that the Syrian regime does not have the capabilities, the training, and perhaps even the determination to adequately take care of this problem, from their view, this problem of an open rebellion. And that is a serious problem. The Syrian regime has, its power has been slowly, and Hezbollah, it seems, has been steadily, with the Iranians, has been steadily called on to support it, provide it vital support.
How long can that go on for? It sounds as if they're fighting on too many fronts, Hezbollah.
Well, Hezbollah is, let's say, fighting a political battle in Lebanon. It's fighting an information and psychological warfare in Lebanon vis-a-vis the Israelis. And it faces the increasing prospects over the last few months of facing another hot war with the Israelis. And that's perhaps an arguable point, but at least that's part of its public strategic thinking, from what we hear. It's involved in a strong battle, trying to constrain its space globally, whether that be through the threat of EU sanctions, whether that be through the recent increased American activity and sanctions vis-a-vis Hezbollah and Iran, of course, which Hezbollah is intimately linked to, some are controlled by. Hezbollah as a small actor in Lebanon is being spread thin in terms of its capabilities. The Syrian regime is being spread thin in terms of its capabilities. The Iranians are being spread thin. Being brought through their financial system on their currency. So yes, these actors all are on the back of their heels, so to speak. But I would also say that on the opposite side, a lot of the actors arrayed against them, although they have far deeper pockets and far greater reservoirs of power, they are also facing substantial problems. in Amman, in Jordan, next door. The king is facing the possibility that Jordan might be the next to join the Arab revolts. The serious possibility, after 18 months or almost 2 years, that Jordan may enter that fray. We see also that the Turks are fighting in an increasing level of confrontations with Kurdish and PKK forces. That is opening up a tremendous degree of concern amongst the Turkish military, Turkish opposition, and the Turkish government and the AKP ruling party itself. The Americans and the Israelis in the region, as we know in the last few weeks and the last few months, are not seeing a particularly rosy strategic situation either. Indeed, the Americans, of course, have come under direct assault in these last few weeks, and they see their influence arguably waning in the Middle East. They are unable to even get the Iraqis to stop more than one cargo plane from Iran to supposedly resupply the Syrians. That's an incredible weak position if the Americans can't do that after spending, you know, a trillion dollars or billions of dollars, tens of billions of dollars, and more than 5,000 American lives over the last 10 years. You know, that is not a particularly good position either. So the Israelis, the last thing to say, are seeing themselves steadily surrounded by an arc of Sunni Islamists, which is not particularly comforting when you consider that the Sinai Peninsula region is now a potential hot zone for them. So let's look at this not in a sort of vacuum with just how Hezbollah in Syria and Iran are seeing a weakened position and are nervous, but also the people that they're up against are nervous as well, and including the Free Syrian Army, including the Syrian rebels, and especially, I would say, you know, unfortunately, those Syrian forces that are sandwiched in the middle, that do not believe in either the methods of the Syrian Muslim Brotherhood, the Free Syrian Army, and especially the Al-Qaeda-linked elements that are battling the regime, nor do they believe in the regime's way forward. Syrian Democrats, Syrians that love their country, that don't want foreign intervention, that want to see a reasonable way forward out of this mess, they're probably the ones who right now, I think, are in the worst position of anyone, of Hezbollah, of the U.S., of Israel, of anyone. And that's enormously sad.